When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
The following broadcast may contain free thinking and open-minded discussion, ideas, skepticism, and adult subject matter. Topics will be discussed using adult language, sometimes gratuitously. Get ready to move the conversation forward. This ain't your granddad's news and comment show. This is I Doubt It Podcast with Brittany Page and Jesse Dalamore.
Welcome to this 941st installment of I Doubt It Podcast. I am your host, Jesse Dalamore, joined today by the lovely, the talented, and never forget scholarly, Brittany Page, everybody.
Yes, we are here and we are not stressed at all about the state of things. We are very excited about the future and what's
no
to come
stress.
In life.
And no misgivings about the results of the election.
I think endlessly filled with hope.
Things are going pretty great.
Really optimistic about the future.
I mean, if you discount the fact that there's a deadly measles epidemic, if you discount other items like this, yeah, it's going pretty good.
Yeah, so we are going to start the show by talking about something that we have been saying that we would talk about eventually. And we've been hesitant to talk about it because we haven't wanted to interfere with the investigation at all. But
we're still hesitant to talk about it, even as we're going to talk about it. Hesitant.
Yeah, but the unfortunate reality is that the Trump administration has... Okay, we're just going to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
So April 2024, we get two voicemails to the I Doubt It voicemail line with threats of rape and murder for me and with threats of murder for you.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the first time we've received threats like this. We have reported threats like this in the past to the police. It wasn't the first time that we reported threats like this to the police and to the FBI. But this was actually the first time that it went further than just a report. And it has been under investigation and it's with the U.S. Attorney's Office here in D.C. And we had a prosecutor assigned. That prosecutor decided to charge the case and moved forward with issuing an arrest warrant. That's pretty much where the case stands now. Now, what has complicated this is that there is a Trump loyalist who has been installed at the U.S. Attorney's Office, and his name is Ed Martin. And he is a dangerous conspiracy theorist. And
he helped fund the Stop the Steal effort post-2020 election.
Right. He has made posts from his official accounts.
Insane, threatening, conspiracy-laden retribution posts from the Twitter account of the United States Attorney for the District of Columbia. Not his personal account.
Mm-hmm.
From the account of that particular position.
Yeah, and one of the posts that he made says, quote, as President Trump's lawyers, we are proud to fight to protect his leadership as our president, and we are vigilant in standing against entities like the AP, the Associated Press, that refuse to put America first. This was in response to the Associated Press refusing to use the phrase Gulf of America, as the Trump administration wants them to do.
Because of their style guide, not because of some political thing.
And, of course, you, United States Attorney, District of Columbia, Edward Martin, is not the president's lawyer.
Right.
And to say that they are the president's lawyers is concerning, especially when you couple that with the fact that when he was installed in the office, dozens of prosecutors were fired for working on January 6 cases because
yes,
they were viewed as anti-Trump. One top prosecutor shortly after that resigned in protest after alleging improper pressure to open investigations without evidence. Several prosecutors now, I think this reporting is from today or over the weekend, were demoted because of their work on January 6th cases being seen as anti-Trump. So,
well, hang on. Not only that, he is in that post that they put on Instagram and Twitter and elsewhere, indicating that they're going to go after people who aren't putting America first, quote unquote. What's the exact verbiage of that?
We are vigilant in standing against entities like the AP that refuse to put America first.
So the United States Department of Justice is standing against, in their official capacity as a prosecutorial element of our government, any entity that doesn't put America first, whatever the fuck that means. That's not the role of the Department of Justice. It's not the role of the office of the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. But under Ed Martin, he thinks it is. It's dangerous.
Yeah, and actually, let me read this Washington Post reporting. It is from today. Quote, seven top leaders of the U.S. Attorney's Office for Washington, D.C. were demoted to misdemeanor and entry-level intake positions Friday, according to people familiar with the matter, in the latest Trump administration purge of career Justice Department prosecutors who handled politically sensitive cases. The prosecutors are among a larger group targeted for, quote, retribution by President Donald Trump and loyalists, including interim U.S. Attorney Ed Martin, because of their roles in January 6th Capitol seditious conspiracy and riot cases, and others, including ones involving Trump allies such as advisors Stephen Bannon and Peter Navarro, according to eight people close to the office speaking on the condition of anonymity for fear of reprisals. So when I'm using phrases like retribution and Trump loyalists, that's actually in reporting.
Right.
That's not just me being radical.
From sources within the Department of Justice, right, within the Office of the United States Attorney for the District of Columbia.
Right. Now, this is concerning to me because it's actually been difficult to get this case off the ground. I already said that it happened in April.
Yeah.
It's been almost a year. And I would have to call almost constantly in order to get any kind of update or forward movement on this case. The entire time I've been calling and pushing. And I think anyone who has been up against the justice system, who's been a victim of a crime, has probably found themselves in the same situation, right? Where they have to advocate for themselves, unfortunately. And that has certainly been the case here. I don't want to get into it too much. We will have more to say depending on how things go here.
I'm not confident.
But I did call my prosecutor. They are still employed as of the last time I spoke to them a week ago. I asked how Ed Martin's position is going to impact my case. They obviously didn't want to respond to that question and said that there's no reason for them to see that his position will impact my case, but it was very vague and buttoned up and, you know, almost kind of a canned response that you would expect, I guess.
Carefully chosen words.
And so I guess it's just concerning because of the climate of things here, where I mean, just because I'm not surprised by death and rape threats at this point doesn't mean that I'm not alarmed by them.
Yeah.
Especially when we're in a city where the January 6th insurrectionists were pardoned and released from the D.C. jail.
Many of them still live here.
Have weapons.
Yeah.
Have other, you know, plans that maybe we don't know about. I don't know. Okay. But it is concerning, obviously, when someone feels bold enough to call, pick up the phone, dial a number, leave a message saying that they're going to rape you and that they're going to kill you and that you're fucking dead. And
called twice, by the way.
And for that to be handled or seen from a political lens of, well, are you a Trump critic?
Or the threat came from a Trump supporter? We're going to look the other way then.
Right. Your ability to get justice should not depend on what your political affiliation is. That is wrong. That's disgusting. And that's what I fear is happening, because Ed Martin is also sending letters to elected officials, by the way.
Chuck Schumer. Threatening him.
Yeah. Threatening to open investigations because of quote unquote threats that he made against Donald Trump.
That milquetoast Chuck Schumer. Not firebrand Chuck Schumer, middle-of-the-road corporate Democrat Chuck Schumer. He's being threatened.
Right. So people have been sending us messages, particularly related to a video that David Pakman did. Well, actually, two videos that he did, I guess, now. And then a video that Sam Cedar did talking about one of Pakman's videos, about these conversations that progressive commentators are having with their network of people and also their lawyers.
Yeah.
About what could happen. What could the Trump administration do to target political activists financially, legally, our platforms, what have you?
I am. Listen, I'm very worried about the platform element of this, because look what happened in the wake of the Gulf of Mexico thing.
Mm-hmm.
The day after, mm-hmm. Google, Apple, both of them changed their maps to read Gulf of America.
Right.
What kind of pressure could be brought to bear upon Google, YouTube, owned by Google, to deplatform us, to demonetize us, to discourage us from criticizing Donald Trump, as is our First Amendment right under the Constitution?
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, there's no way to be, like, you know, positive about this. I mean, we're genuinely concerned. We don't have answers. And it's deeply unsettling to be in a situation where there seemed like there was forward positive movement on being able to get justice. And now it seems like that may have stopped.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, we're hopeful. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep trying. But, you know, the responses are becoming fewer and far between. And
many days in between communication with emails.
Mm-hmm. Certainly appearing as though it's less of a priority. So, yeah, I mean,
look, I'm more concerned about the chilling effect on our rights than I am about losing our platforms, even though losing our platforms would be devastating to us personally, because it's what we do for a living. We'd have to, you know, I don't know. It would be, we need to be diversified across different platforms. Here, Patreon, YouTube, maybe start another membership type of, I don't know. But it is a very real threat to both our rights and also our livelihoods that just, it can't be overstated.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's part of also why we haven't talked about the specific targeting of us, because we generally try to talk about the headlines and how things are affecting other people, and we're not trying to, like, make this about us. But this actually is a situation where we're nervous,
yeah,
and fearful, and having conversations about what this looks like going forward or what our vulnerabilities are. And we've always been concerned about privacy. That's something that we had to really focus on early on, given how just the nature of the political environment. But things have gotten so much worse since we started doing this show. So, yeah. Like I said, there's no real, like, positive way to wrap that up. But
yeah. Well, we just want to give everybody the information. We want to let them know where we are.
Yeah.
We're always looking for ideas, always looking for support. We appreciate you very much. 657-464-7609. Of course, you can email idoubtit@dollemore.com.
So we have a few messages that I'm going to read. And we're going to start with one from a new Patreon supporter who is giving me a correction on the name again. And this is the second time in a row I've gotten one of these. So, Jesse, before I read it, I guess I'm wondering, should I be demoted like these prosecutors at the U.S. Attorney's Office? Should you, Ed Martin, me, and demote me from reading the Patreon names?
Does that mean I have to do extra work?
I mean, you would then be the one risking the incorrect pronunciation.
Yeah, listen, thank you for pronouncing pronunciation correctly. I don't want to do it because I'm already a fuck up relative to names. Remember Raina, mm-hmm. from Indiana?
Yeah, I love
that. I called her Renia for a long time.
I love the one example that you always point to. One time in 10 years. Yeah, you really messed up the name 10 years ago. That's perfect. You're so bad at it.
It was when I was reading the names, Brittany Page.
Yeah.
And as soon as I stopped, my fucking up also stopped.
Okay, well, shout out to Isabel R.
Isabel R.
Who said, Isabel, not Isabella, crying emoji. It's okay. I forgive you. I apologize.
Yeah, I think part of the problem with me mispronouncing names and not really caring too much is because I don't care when people fuck up my name. I've never been precious about it.
Yeah, I'm not precious about it either.
And it's not to say that you're wrong if you're precious about it. I mean, some people, like, yeah, it's my name. I want people to get it right.
Oh,
I understand
for sure,
that.
For sure, yeah.
It's just never been where, it's never the place I've been.
Yeah, I certainly am not doing it on purpose. It's
you
just,
also have an easy fucking name to pronounce. Brittany Page.
Yeah, I think my brain has just
Peggy?
Been.
Peggy? Is it Peggy? Pajay? No,
well,
it's Page.
Here's why I think I'm not super sensitive about it. Like, working in a psychiatric hospital, people will get your name wrong often, and so I would get like Tiffany a lot or Stacy, you know, any of the ones that are kind of Britney-esque.
Yeah.
So, and I'd always be like, yeah, close enough, that's
Charity.
Fine. Yeah, I'll respond to Tiffany, that's fine. All right. Thank you for correcting us. Make sure to correct us anytime, because we want to make sure we get it right, especially for our beautiful Patreon supporters. Now we have another message here. And this is from a worried citizen. Dear Jesse and Brittany,
welcome to the fucking club.
As the next Trump presidency has now approached us, I have been having conversations with my friends slash family and neighbors about how to stay engaged without riding the Trump anxiety roller coaster. Since you are well connected, an expert at synthesizing large amounts of information, and are on the right side of history, I wanted to ask for your help. The general consensus among Democrats I speak to is that we all want to be part of the resistance. However, since those in my circles work and have young families, we need help knowing what that looks like and protecting our own mental health during the next 4 years. Has anyone thought of a weekly slash bi-monthly newsletter that could summarize the biggest fights of that week slash month and then give us action steps? With so many important issues and so many marginalized communities, this could help focus our resistance into action. I do not want to be distracted by the horrific words of him and his cronies, but want to know how to actually fight his actions. Who do we call? Where do we march? Where do we donate for specific issues? Thank you for taking the time to read this, a worried citizen. So this is actually similar to a message that we read on the last show. And the reason I'm reading one that's similar to the email that we got on the last show is, one, to illustrate how many
of you
are thinking and feeling the exact same things. And then to two.
By the way, can I say why I laughed?
Yes.
When people say we're well connected.
Oh. I think.
I just don't know how well. We're probably better connected than we used to be, but we're still not well connected.
Yeah, I don't think they mean to other people. I think they mean to the news.
Oh, connected to the news.
Yeah.
I thought like content creators are all on like a chat message thread or something.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they meant that.
Or like we have just Congress on speed dial or something.
Yeah. We do not.
You're probably right. I probably read into it.
Otherwise, we would not be begging for assistance to no one.
Right.
on alone on the show right now.
Yeah. Screaming into the void, that is the microphone.
The other thing is, number two, I want to see if anyone listening to this, when they heard this description of a weekly, bi-monthly, whatever newsletter, calls to action, resources, if you know of something like that, send it to us.
Yeah, we'll crowdsource this idea out there.
Because number three, we started a resource page, and I'm going to link to it again in the show notes here. But there actually is a newsletter similar to what this worried citizen is asking for, but it's daily. And that's Rogan's List. And they go through the different things that are happening every day and what you could be doing daily in order to take action.
And that's Rogan's List. Rogan's List. Just like Joe Rogan, except it's not a dumb fuck list.
SusanRogan.substack.com.
Yeah.
And so that is an important resource because they cover everything. It's not just making calls. It's where protests are happening. It's the things that this worried citizen talked about. But also you have five calls. And I know that's a daily thing too as well. That's not like, you know, a weekly or bi-monthly.
And that's 5calls.org.
Yeah, the number 5calls.org. But Indivisible, Move On, these are all great resources to check out and point you in the right direction.
And one of the reasons you know that Indivisible and Move On are good organizations right now is that mainstream Democratic leadership are upset with those two organizations because they're trying to push them into action. You've got Hakeem Jeffries, who must have really cold hands because he's sitting on them all the time to try to warm them. And in the absence of him, when he's on his hands, he's not working. He's not actually resisting and putting up opposition party to Donald Trump.
Right.
So you know that they're doing good work because Democrats are like, hey, lay off. Don't put the blame on us. There's nothing we can do when there is.
Yeah.
If there's something citizens can do to run members of Congress out of their town halls or changing the day of their town hall and not telling the Democrats on the email list, then there's something members of Congress can certainly do.
Yeah. So thank you very much, worried citizen. We appreciate your message. We are going to read one more email here, and then we're going to get into the show. Hi, Jesse and Brittany. My name is Jean. I am a viewer and fan of your channels and videos for perhaps 4 or 5 years now. I also regularly listen to the I Doubt It podcast each week, and I am always psyched when the new episode shows up on my phone. I absolutely love the work you do, and it is because of you and similar podcasters that I get inspired to do what I can against the present fascist agenda. I'm not so talented when it comes to political discussions, but I am 100% on your side, and I always feel better and more hopeful about things when listening to your shows. Thank you for all you do, and keep fighting the good fight. Sincerely, Jean.
Always good to hear.
After starting the intro the way that we did, you knew that we needed a little pat on the back.
A little pep.
All right? We need something to put the pep in our step.
Yeah, listen, it's nice to know that there are people out there who don't want to murder me and rape and murder you. That is always, it buoys my spirit, as they say.
It is nice.
So thank you, Jean.
Yes, thank you very much.
We appreciate that.
Yes. So on the Patreon name note, we want to take a moment to thank the Patreon supporters.
Don't fuck it up.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Okay, let's start with our new Patreon supporters, Freedom 2000.
Freedom 2000.
Sandra C.
Sandra C.
JK.
JK.
Randall HM.
Randall HM.
Robert.
Robert.
Andy.
Andy.
Lay D.
Lay D.
And possibly Lee D?
Lee D.
Mm-hmm.
The cracking voice was indicating my trepidation about whether it's Lee D or not.
Thomas and Sarah M.
Thomas and Sarah M.
Antonio C.
Antonio C. Your tone, you're raising the pitch of your each name as
I'm
though
really
everyone is with a question mark.
I'm really nervous. Aria S.
Aria S.
Lauren W.
Lauren W.
Aria S. W.
Aria S. W.
Aria, let me know if that is a mistake. And you, no, it's just two different Aria spelled correctly. Spelled the same way.
Huh.
They're just like, you know what? We're really going to get in her head. Let's do it.
A coordinated effort of different Arias.
Grant S.
Grant S.
Jane T.
Jane T.
Adam B.
Adam B.
Frederick M.
Frederick M.
T O.
T O.
Matt B.
Is that Terrell Owens? Matt B.
Gigi.
Gigi.
Jojo.
Jojo.
And then we want to give a shout out to our Patreon supporters who have increased their pledges. And that would be Steve B.
Steve B.
Steve B. And Neil F.
Neil F.
And Michael T.
Michael T.
Michael T., a very generous increase in the pledge. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you so much.
Don't forget that you can become an annual Patreon supporter for $10 off the amount. That's a
10%.
10%, yeah, 10% off the amount. That's always the deal. That's not like a special deal right now. We've gotten some messages from people saying that they received their stickers.
Oh.
So that's great.
You're spoiling what it is.
Oh.
It's fine, whatever. It's already out there.
Okay, yeah.
I don't mean like we can't edit it. We could edit it, but people have already received them.
Right, so yeah, I meant the end of your gift, which are stickers, and I guess we're going to wait to talk about them still until we have, like, more people are saying that they got them. Let's give it, like, 2 weeks into March to make sure that everyone got them, just to kind of play it safe with the mail.
Yeah.
Because we fulfill our stickers ourselves on the the Dollemore merch store. And sometimes people will message us and say, hey, I haven't gotten the sticker yet in my order. And then a day later, they'll say, oh, it turned up in the mail.
Yeah.
So let's just kind of give it 2 weeks into March. And there will be an episode where we say, like, up front, if you haven't gotten it, let us know. And then we'll send you a new one. But, like, let's give it just a little bit longer for people to kind of get them in the mail. Okay. We appreciate you guys so much. We, like we said, it's a scary time. We know that you guys are afraid, but we appreciate getting messages from you where, you know, you feel like listening to the show makes things lighter. On the previous episode, we got all kinds of comments where people said they were laughing and they really enjoyed it. And so we want to be able to still have those moments too. We don't just want it to be all doom and gloom all the time, because that's not good for our mental health. And that's also not how we're going to be in our best fighting stance.
It's not who I am.
Yeah. So thank you for your support. You can go to patreon.com/idoubtitpodcast to join the other Patreon supporters and our community of listeners there. And we appreciate you.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage and do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.
Stalemocracy. Facing down pessimistic politics with realistic optimism.
So RFK Jr., the vaccine, the anti-vax activist, I was going to say vaccine skeptic, but he's just straight up anti-vaccine activist. The also the Health and Human Services Secretary.
Yeah.
There's a tremendous measles outbreak happening right now in Texas, and there are over 140 children in Western Texas that are sick, but there's also several other states that are now battling cases of measles. And I don't know if you know this, but measles...
Did you just say a child has died from it?
A child has died.
Yeah.
Yes. And we're going to get to that in a moment, because we're going to talk about the journey that RFK Jr. has been on, essentially, from when he was asked about this last week in the cabinet meeting with Trump, and where he is now, which is writing an op-ed for Fox News telling people to get vaccinated, strangely enough. I want to talk about the motivations behind that, but first I want to talk about measles. Did you know it is one of the most contagious viruses in existence?
I do know that only because, and I had forgotten it until it came back. The reason I'd forgotten is because measles rarely crops its head up.
Right.
There's rarely an epidemic. There's rarely a spread. There's rarely a death. I mean, I don't think we've had a death in the United States from measles for like decades. It's been a long time.
Well, and measles was declared like eliminated from the United States in the year 2000.
Yeah, right. So yeah, I did know it, but then enough time goes by where you don't hear about the measles because we shouldn't hear about the fucking measles, just like we shouldn't hear about polio.
Right.
But because of an unvaccinated community in Texas, it's running rampant.
Yeah, well, one celebrity doctor who has not let me down, and who better not let me down, because I can't take much more of it, Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Yeah, yeah.
You better stay on the pedestal that I have you
the
on.
He's a real science-focused guy.
Yes. He recently did a podcast about it. I listened
He's
to it.
He's not hosting fucking reality shows exploiting drug addicts and shit, you know?
Like Dr. Drew.
Yes.
Yeah, and in the Sanjay Gupta episode, I think it's called something about life, chasing life. I don't know.
That sounds like a Maddie Matheson cooking travel show. That's dead set on life. Yeah, probably is chasing life.
Yeah, Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Professionals, everybody.
Talked about how someone with measles can go into a room and like cough in this room, you know, like people love to do. And then they can leave that room.
Is he talking about the airport?
And that room... the virus will remain in that room for up to 2 hours and infect people.
Just floating around in the room, droplets, ready to infect someone else.
Just rubbing its hands together, looking at everyone like, who's unvaccinated in here?
That is amazing that you said that, because when I was thinking about it, I personified the virus as though it was sitting in the corner twisting its mustache, hatching a plan on how to infect a kid.
Like it's Mr. Burns.
Excellent.
Yeah, he doesn't have a mustache, but right. Same vibe. So, of course, with vaccine hesitancy growing, people are not getting their kids vaccinated. And you need to have a vaccination rate above 90% in order to help protect people that can't get the shot.
Yeah.
You know, children under 1 year, those who are immunocompromised. Like, there's a reason that those people who can and should be getting the vaccine should get the vaccine so that we have herd immunity and that we can also help people who can't yet get the vaccine.
Yeah.
Now, anyone who's educated, right, anyone who's in a position of power should immediately, when they hear about the measles outbreak, be reinforcing over and over and over again how important it is to get vaccinated. But I want you to hear how the Secretary of Health and Human Services, RFK Jr., responded to the measles outbreak last week when he was asked about it.
Bobby, do you want to speak on that?
We are following the measles epidemic every day. I think there's 124 people who have contracted measles at this point in Kings County, Texas. Mainly, we're told, in the Mennonite community. There are two people who have died, we're watching it, and there are about 20 people hospitalized, mainly for quarantine. We're watching it. We put out a post on it yesterday, and we're going to continue to follow it. Incidentally, there have been 4 measles outbreaks this year in this country. Last year, there were 16. So it's not unusual. We have measles outbreaks every year.
You sound a little under the weather yourself right now.
I have a permanently bad throat.
I just have a permanently bad throat. I'm RFK Jr. About everything he said fucking wrong.
Totally.
It's not 2 people dead. It's 1 person dead.
I know. It's wild.
The 20 people quarantined aren't just like hanging out like, we just want to put them in this room and have them watch TV for a while. It's sick fucking people who are clinging to life. And incidentally, this happens every year.
Right.
No, it doesn't, dumb fuck. If that was the case, why is it we declared the measles eradicated in the year 2000?
Right. So again, downplaying everything that's happening at every turn. Not once did he talk about vaccines. And by the way, I got this clip. I didn't hear that at the end. That's my first time hearing that exchange at the end.
He's like, are you sick?
Yeah, because he kept coughing and it was gross. And he's like, I have a permanently bad throat. Like, what?
What's your diagnosis?
You
know, because we're so well connected, I have it on good authority that the person who asked that question at the end was actually the brain worm of RFK Jr.
That was pretty good.
Thank
you. Good job.
So you'll
also note that, speaking of that drop, that Sarah Sherman, and she does a great bit on SNL as RFK's brainworm.
Everything Sarah Sherman does is wonderful.
Yeah, you should definitely, if you haven't seen it, I'll just link to it, the brainworm. Will you write that down for me, brainworm show notes? Okay. The different notes that we have. So you may have also noticed that as a person in a position of power, he not only did he not talk about the way to prevent this from happening is vaccination. He didn't bring that up at all. He also didn't start with condolences like to the fam. He thought 2 people were dead to the families.
Yeah, a child.
He didn't even acknowledge that at all.
I almost said a child is unnecessarily dead, but any dead child is unnecessary. But he... Like, no empathy whatsoever on display.
Totally. So I just wanted to play kind of a juxtaposition of what it would be like to have an actual professional, an actual scientist, an actual...
I think Peter Hotez, who is the clip, I see the name here, is a virologist and an epidemiologist. I think he's qualified in multiple disciplines. He's certainly a vaccine expert.
He's the co-director of the Center for Vaccine Development at Texas Children's Hospital and the dean of the National School of Tropical Medicine at Baylor College of Medicine.
Yeah.
And he's often the target of death threats from conspiracy theorists because of his vaccine advocacy.
Oh, that he is the guy that Joe Rogan badmouthed and then nutsacks showed up at Hotez's door.
Right.
Threatening weirdos started showing up, mm-hmm. stalking him.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
So let's just have a juxtaposition of what it would be like in an alternate universe to have someone who's actually qualified to be the Secretary of HHS and how RFK Jr. should have responded when asked about the measles outbreak.
Well, you know, the first reaction, of course, is what a horrible tragedy. I mean, this is a school-age kid. This child did not have to die. The measles vaccine, the MMR vaccine, a single dose, 90% protective against measles, two doses, 97%. Measles is one of the big killers globally, and the only way to really prevent this is to ensure wide-scale vaccination. Unfortunately, here in Texas, we have a very aggressive anti-vaccine lobby that actually receives PAC money, Political Action Committee money, for some of their work, and the consequences predicted and predictable. We've had very low vaccination rates in many parts of the state, particularly in West Texas. So this started in a Mennonite community. There's no religious prohibitions against vaccination. They just, you know, an anti-vaccine activist groups got to them. And so it started there. Now it's spreading in other parts of West Texas where vaccination rates are also low, and now across the border into New Mexico. It may move up into Oklahoma. And this thing still has a lot of momentum behind it. I think we're still in the early stages. And the official numbers, over 100, are probably a fraction of what's really going on. You know, some of my colleagues are saying, you know, on the ground, they're saying maybe a couple of hundred cases or more, and this is continuing to accelerate.
This is but more evidence for you of the myth of meritocracy.
Right.
The myth that Donald Trump wants to surround himself with the best people, the people with the most merit. Because Dr. Peter Hotez, you just heard, that's what you would hear from someone who actually is qualified to lead the Department of Health and Human Services. Instead, we've got Scratchy Throat McGee, who's an anti-vax nutsack, putting people's lives in danger, promoting ideas that black people are they're stronger than white people and their immune systems are different and they should get a different schedule of vaccines. That it's not the HIV that causes AIDS, it's the use of poppers and other just insane conspiracy theorist is now in charge of the department to head health and human service. What the fuck?
Right. Well, an additional news today was that a top spokesman at the Department of Health and Human Services has abruptly resigned. This happened on Friday, and it's because of tensions with RFK Jr. and his team. Specifically, they were differing in their approaches to how he was handling the measles outbreak.
Right. Specifically about this, the measles outbreak.
Right. And, I mean, you can see why, again, when we juxtapose those responses that you just heard. But we have further reason to be concerned because a CDC vaccine advisory committee meeting was abruptly postponed when it comes to choosing the flu strains, the flu vaccine. And then the FDA just canceled a meeting to select flu strains for next year's shots. And this is scary because they need like a 6-month window to develop the vaccine.
Yeah.
And so they need to get going on this. And you can't be postponing the meetings and canceling the meetings, especially when the flu season this year is like the worst flu season in 15 years.
That's why I raised my hand that I wanted to say something next. No, that was it. I was going to say that.
Yeah.
That especially on this, you just said it. Yeah, that's it. Because listen, going into this next year, if we don't have a flu shot, if they're not going to be re-upping on the COVID vaccine or whatever, make sure you get ahead of this right now and get some masks banked. Have a supply of masks to take care of yourself when you go to the grocery store, when you go on the metro, when you're on the bus, on the subway, whatever, to make sure you're taking care of yourself, because it could be a very different situation during flu season next year. This year was extra brutal. Brittany not only got COVID when we got back from the Chicago from the Democratic National Convention, you've had the flu twice this year, and you never get sick. Mm-hmm. So next year, it could be even worse. We could be facing tens and tens of thousands of deaths from the flu unnecessary deaths because Donald Trump surrounds himself with the quote-unquote best people.
Right. Well, and like I said, it's a severe flu season. 86 children have died. Man. 19,000 adults have died.
Yeah.
This year, or from this season, from the CDC. The data from the CDC shows that. Thankfully, we still have access to that. And
now, incidentally, it's fine. That's those numbers every year.
And it's concerning because the flu virus changes year to year. And so, you know, some people will say, you know, I got the flu shot and I still got the flu, right? The strain, it changes every year. And so they have to meet and they decide on the strains. And
even the test that you tested positive for, it was a COVID test, a flu A test, and a flu B test, and maybe a couple others. And so you just got the version that you didn't get the inoculated for.
Right. Or being inoculated helps it be less severe. Right.
Yeah.
So who knows how much more severe my illness could have been.
Yeah. And you were pretty fucked.
I was. And so it's genuinely scary. I mean, my thesis advisor died of the flu a couple years ago. And so people think, oh, it's the flu. It's not that big of a deal. No, people die from the flu.
Yeah.
And so.
And in this year, children have died from the flu.
Right.
And there's also RSV out there. It's just, it's scary. So you got to take care of yourself. Make sure you have masks. Make sure you wear them. Make sure you've stockpiled. I don't want to cause like a panic, but make sure you have enough going into next year.
Yeah, don't stockpile, but just be aware of it. Make sure you have enough. And but that brings us to RFK Jr. writing this op-ed for Fox News. And the title is Measles Outbreak is a Call to Action for All of Us. MMR Vaccine is Crucial to Avoiding Potentially Deadly Disease. So I guess my question is, RFK has a lifelong record of being anti-vax and engaging in anti-vaccine conspiracy theories. What do you think his motivation is for writing this? Is it to illustrate, I don't know, give like people a small win so that he can turn around and say, see, I'm not unreasonable. I'm not crazy like they tell you I am. I'm being a reasonable guy. Is it to distract us from everything else going on? Like, we're going to be like, oh my God, what's going on?
It's hard to say, but I would, my thing would be that the political side of the Trump administration is like, hey, you're going to cause us problems. You need to toe the line just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Who knows? What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. The first two things that I suggested, maybe. I don't want to turn into a conspiracy theorist, but this isn't because he believes this.
Yeah, of course not.
It isn't because this is his actual position. His actual position is what you heard in the cabinet meeting.
Right.
That was him not prepped.
And what you've heard on clip after clip after clip after clip of him.
Lifelong.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, his entire life.
We'd love, though, to throw it to the audience. What do you guys think? What are the motivations here? 657-464-7609. Of course, you can email a voice memo from your smartphone to idoubtit@dollamore.com.
Now, one thing that we do want to talk about is with all these calls to action, we hear a lot of people say, does it actually matter when you call your elected officials? Does it actually matter when you go to these town halls and you show up and you pressure your elected officials?
202-224-3121. That's the Capitol switchboard. Burn it into your memory.
We are seeing how much it matters. And that is because, I mean, there's reporting showing that Republican senators are starting to behind the scenes have conversations about whether the cuts to USAID, for example, are legal. And
yeah,
they're having conversations amongst themselves. But also, they're in these town halls leaving early.
Yeah, way early. Also, changing locations after it's already been set where they were going to be. And then people on the email list, they don't email. So it's only like the Republicans in the know who get to show up.
Mm-hmm.
That's Derek Van Orden from Wisconsin pulled that bullshit. Roger Marshall, the senator from Kansas, he bailed early and beat feet out of there, leaving the crowd like, hey, whoa, whoa, you said you'd be here for an hour, bro.
Right. Well, and NBC News is reporting that House Republicans are actually wanting to stop holding in-person town halls because of the way that these are going.
It's bad for messaging, too.
And So, yeah, go ahead and try, but that's why you need to keep the pressure up. Yeah. I mean, no, you're not going to stop showing up in person. That's why you were elected, bro. So let's let's hear one of these situations, and this is specifically...
Okay, bro, don't come at me. You're a fucking doctor, bro.
A lot of bros with the Britney Page drops.
So Missouri Representative Alford, he was confronted by a crowd, an overflow crowd, and questioned over Trump's policies.
I'm Charlie Keegan outside Random's Coffee in downtown Belton. Monday morning, a huge crowd showed up to speak with Representative Mark Alford. This was the first time he'd held this kind of town hall style event since Trump took office.
I can't hear her follow up.
The people who made it into the coffee shop were talking over each other, calling Alford names, and booing his answers. Alford stood there for an hour and a half, answering the questions, even if most of his answers towed the Republican talking points, which only antagonized the crowd. The people here live inside and outside Alford's district. They covered everything from Elon Musk to the Ukrainian war, along with immigration, laying off federal employees. Alford told the crowd he feels bad for people who've lost their jobs at places like the IRS, and that God has a plan for them.
And you are not a victim, you are a victor, and you will be able to get another job and provide for yourself and your family. I'm confident of that.
We are the hardworking federal employees that make this government run every single day, and we are being discounted by those in Washington claiming that we're the swamp and we're the fraud, waste, and abuse. No.
Alford's team said it'll look for a larger venue for the next event of this style. They don't have a date on the calendar yet. Charlie Keegan, KSHB 41 News.
So, like I said, that's just one example, but like I said, NBC News has reported on the broader trend because it's not just this one example in Missouri. Republicans are, because of the blowback that they're facing specifically over DOGE, they are wanting to avoid these town halls as much as possible.
After hearing from constituents like this,
you are doing us a disservice to set that down and not stand up for us.
Republicans are now hitting the brakes on in-person town halls. That's after several Republican members received quite a bit of pushback over President Trump and Elon Musk's cuts to the federal government. And that has led to viral clips, negative headlines, and overall public blowback that Republicans worry could end up costing them votes. Now, GOP aides have told us that that has led leaders to encourage their colleagues in the House to avoid this format altogether. They've even gone as far as to say that if they feel the need to have a town hall, they should do it virtually or even vet the attendees before they get in the room. But even those formats might be off the table, with one Republican lawmaker telling us that these heated exchanges have so spooked his colleagues that they might not want to do town halls at all.
What's that tell you about what's going on with these people?
Yeah, so do not let them do this. They cannot avoid you.
This is why also that we say to call your representative and your senator at 202-224-3121 because it moves the needle. If it didn't move the needle, it would be full steam ahead, business as usual, town halls every other day.
Yeah, and there was an interview that Speaker Mike Johnson did with Caitlin Collins that kind of gave a preview for the narrative that Republicans were going to construct on this. And Trump actually took Mike Johnson's words from this, and he's now posting on Truth Social. They're saying that these are all paid protesters.
Oh, right.
These are paid, as Donald Trump called it on Truth Social today, paid troublemakers.
Mm-hmm. Just asking, because as you know, your home state of Louisiana, about 80% of the Medicaid spending there is covered by the federal government. We've seen it in a lot of red states, of course, across the United States. It's not just a blue state issue. As you have seen through this, and we've seen the blowback that some Republicans in your caucus that are getting when they go back home to their districts, worried about these cuts or worried about what DOGE is doing, do you have concerns that that's anything that Democrats will be able to use to run against those Republicans?
No, because the videos you saw of the town halls were for paid protesters in many of those places. These are Democrats who went to the events early and filled up the seats. If the videos had panned outside the building.
You can't argue they were all paid protesters, though, Mr. Speaker.
Many of them were.
A Republican acknowledged they were his constituents.
One Republican acknowledged they were constituents. That's fantastic. Okay, but they had Democrats come and fill the seats early, all right? This is an old playbook that they pulled out and ran, and it made it look like that what is happening in Washington is unpopular. But I'm going to tell you, Caitlin, the American people are behind what's happening. The DOGE efforts is polling over 80% right now. They want us to find efficiencies in the federal government. They want the government to be smaller and leaner and more accountable to the taxpayers, and that's what these efforts are all about. That's what the Republican Party is about. That's what our commitment is to do, to make government work better for the people. This is a restoration of common sense above everything else. And I think the American people are going to remain in favor of what's happening here.
Okay. I was just, those lawmakers do also represent Democrats. That doesn't mean they were paid to show up if they're upset about this. But
is that what you wrote down?
Well, it's similar. Yeah, it's adjacent to that.
Yeah.
One, it's shitty pushback. Mm-hmm. The question is, what's the evidence that they're paid? That's the question. The brakes put on the show. What is your evidence that they are paid? And then it'll be fucking crickets or more lies from this righteous, mighty Christian man of God who certainly wouldn't lie, right?
Well, that was also the reason I asked if that's what you wrote down is because that was my thought from the beginning of this clip where they're saying that these are Democrats. Well, Democrats are also the constituents.
Yeah.
Of a Republican representative.
So people
they're showing up and they're Democrats. That's their constituents.
Yeah, they showed up early, which it must be that they're paid and not that they're just super passionate about what's going on. And also to his point about 80% or whatever number he spewed lied about the people approving of DOGE, a CNN poll just came out. And it's a 48 approval rating of Donald Trump, a 52 disapproval rating. But they obviously in the mix there is the 90% of Republicans who are happy with it. If you were to take out the 90% of Republicans, there's even with independents, it's an overwhelming number of people who are unhappy with what's taking place right now. This is an astroturfed paid protesters, agitators. These are people who really fucking care and are impacted by what's taking place.
Well, and we've already talked about the problem of people not having class solidarity, this struggle. I think we talked about it on the last episode of people maybe not being willing to acknowledge the reality of their financial precarity in order to get them to class solidarity, and the defenses of a billionaire who doesn't care if they live or die.
You mean like people who will continue to hold out hope, so to speak, that they're going to be a millionaire next if only the American dream strikes them like lightning and not just that it's luck and not based on the merit of Elon Musk, who is not some standalone genius.
Right. Well, and I think that our inability to recognize the financial precarity is a survival mechanism, because if you acknowledge it, it can be tough to get through the day. I was telling you this the other day that when I was objectively poor, like counting money to put change in the car, not being able to pay the electric bill, things like that, if you had asked me, Brittany, are you poor? I would have probably said no.
Right.
Because I wasn't, my version of poor was being on food stamps and having to ask people at church for money and having to go to the food pantry. And so, like, yeah, my credit cards were maxed out and I would make the minimum payment so I could charge my groceries on what was available credit.
So it's just not admitting to yourself because of the terror that might.
Yeah, but I was constantly on the edge and I was objectively poor, but it felt shameful. It felt like shameful to admit that.
It's why we have this drop.
Yeah, and I think that we will take our power back when we acknowledge those things, because we need to fight for policies that support the vast majority of people that are struggling now, that can't make ends meet, that are every day trying as hard as possible to make ends meet, and that are one missed paycheck away from a disaster. And Elon Musk is not someone who has your best interest in mind. He is not worried about making the government more efficient. He's worried about enriching himself. And listen, every day there's a new story about DOGE and their radical fuck-ups. I mean, there was another one today that they deleted because they have this website that they claim is their wall of receipts, right? And they deleted $4 billion more in savings from their wall of receipts today. It's the second time in a week, according to reporting, that Elon Musk's website has removed huge cuts that it celebrated from canceled contracts. Five of the seven biggest savings that it has claimed, they deleted overnight, okay?
Yeah, and they're secretly deleted. There's no fanfare.
Yeah, they don't.
It's just they promote it like hell for a week or 10 days. They get all the MAGA idiots to repeat it and have it drilled into their head, and then they just quietly delete the claim from existence from the website.
Totally. And PBS's Laura Barrón-López actually went through some of the most misleading and incorrect claims that Doge has been making.
So Elon Musk and his team on that wall of receipts say that their total cuts equal $65 billion in savings. They base that on contract cancellations, firing workers, and, quote, fraud detection. But as the New York Times first reported, five of Doge's biggest contracts that they say have resulted in savings ended up being deleted from that wall of receipts after outlets pointed out that there were errors. And some of the biggest errors in savings are, as CBS first reported, a USAID contract for $650 million that was listed three times. As The Intercept first reported, a Social Security contract listed as $232 million instead of $560,000. And an ICE contract that Doge listed as $8 billion when in reality it was $8 million. And it's important to note that that $8 million ICE contract was a credit line. That means that ICE may have never ended up paying out that total $8 million. And some of these contracts were on the wall of receipts were either already paid or canceled under the Biden administration. So Doge is essentially taking a lot of credit in time for some of these contracts that don't appear to be actually the savings that they say they are.
I know you were working the phones and talking to vendors who appear on this so-called wall of receipts. What did they tell you?
So our colleague Kyle Madura spoke to one of these federal vendors, a Taylor Jones. His company Culture Point does leadership and management training. And his company was listed on Doge's wall of receipts as having a contract for almost $10 million. But Taylor Jones told NewsHour that not only was the amount of money wrong, it was actually $100,000. But it was not a guaranteed payment. It was a credit line. And the agreement with the government was never signed.
We never had a contract. And we've actually never had a contract with the government that was, you know, a $10 million contract or even a $1 million contract. So not that we're opposed to it, but we just it's never happened. So we were a little surprised to start getting calls from reporters about a non-contract that was never executed.
So essentially there wasn't even a contract to delete, Jeff. And when you look at all of this across the board, the math is really not adding up to $65 billion.
You know, I have a real stark feeling that what's going to end up happening is we're going to end up paying more in salaries to the people who work with Doge than what they actually save. Mm-hmm. It's going to be far outpaced the amount of money we're spending to find the savings than we actually save. Because there is, so far, look, I'm not saying there's no fraud, there's no waste, there's no abuse in the government because people are shitty and people take advantage. Of course, it's human nature. But there is not, they haven't found one verified piece of fraud, not a single piece yet. None.
Yeah, there's also the element of this where they are, quote unquote, pausing or deleting and then restoring contracts, and it's putting people directly in harm's way. And we're starting to see officials come forward and tell the public about this, and that includes an official at USAID who...
Oh, is it the guy that just got relieved of his duties because he said, look, they're getting in the way here.
Yeah, he's been placed on leave after saying that the cuts to funding will lead to, quote, preventable death and threats to U.S. security. And he sent a memo to staff, including the people who were placed on leave or laid off. And he said that the U.S. Agency for International Development has not implemented, quote, life-saving humanitarian assistance under a temporary waiver to pause on foreign aid issued by Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Part of this is also why you're now seeing Democrats being asked in various interviews. Chris Murphy was asked on Sunday. There was another Democrat asked today. I can't remember the name right now.
About their fucking vote for Rubio.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And they're now saying... Oh,
it was a mistake.
It was a mistake. I shouldn't have done that.
Really? Why didn't you listen to everybody the cacophony of people screaming, do not vote for Trump nominees. Just because you have a relationship with him because of the old, my good friend across the aisle, he's not going to do, he's going to bend the knee just like he did years ago to Donald Trump. He's not going to push back against Donald Trump's deleterious policy objectives. Of course he's not. He's a coward. He's a bootlicker. He's a fucking lapdog.
Right. So the USAID official that's been put on leave for disseminating these memos, he said, quote, this will no doubt result in preventable death, destabilization, and threats to national security on a massive scale. And Marco Rubio is saying, vowing to establish waivers for vital USAID programs that will be exempted from the Trump administration's sweeping cuts and stop work orders. But the individual who was placed on leave alleges that significant damage is being done in the present without intervention.
Right.
And there's actually reporting from the Bulwark that goes further, because this official was working on a third memo when he was placed on leave, and it was going to be much more specific about the specific damages that are happening here. So let me just read from this. The memo titled Risks to U.S. National Security and Public Health, Consequences of Pausing Global Health Funding for Life-Saving Humanitarian Assistance, included a table of startling projections. The permanent halt of $7.7 billion in resources for life-saving global health programs was projected could lead to the following. 12.5 to 17.9 million cases of malaria, with an additional 71,000 to 166,000 deaths annually.
Wow.
A 28 to 32% increase in tuberculosis globally.
Mm.
An additional 200,000 paralytic polio cases a year. And in a worst case scenario, more than 28,000 cases of Ebola, Marburg, or related diseases. Are we paying attention to this?
Yeah.
These are the things that Elon Musk is saying are unnecessary.
He's, oh, well, we're going to make mistakes. Yeah, of course. Yeah, we're going to make mistakes. But we'll correct them once we will admit them and we'll correct them. How can you correct when a child contracts HIV? How can you correct tens of thousands of new polio cases? You can't. Dipshit.
Yeah, they're going down a path that cannot be reversed.
Absolutely.
The damage is not going to be able to be reversed. It's going to be done at a certain point. And so this is what happens when you have, you know, people who like laugh at memes that are for 10-year-olds and have people named Big Balls making decisions. Like, it's such a maddening place that we're in. And of course, the big speech from Trump is tomorrow and Democrats are planning to show up.
Yeah.
And bring people that have been affected. I saw one of the senators is planning on bringing like a park ranger that has been affected, which, okay, I understand highlighting that, but no, they should not be going. They should not be going.
Don't do what's routine, because these times are not routine. We need uncharacteristic leadership and resistance to this danger that we all face right now.
And if you want to call your elected representatives and tell them do not show up for Trump's speech, or alternatively, what I would like them to do is wear all black, show up, and then once Donald Trump starts talking, stand up all at once and just start filing
single
out.
File out. Yeah,
out of the room. Like it's a funeral. Like we're in mourning. Like it's the death of democracy.
Yeah, get on the phone. Call your representative. 202-224-3121. Again, 202-224-3121. That is a capital switchboard. All you have to do is tell them where you're from and say, do not attend Donald Trump's presidential address. It's not officially a State of the Union because he wasn't in office last year. Anyway, we're going to leave it there. We love you guys. We appreciate you very much. Please consider supporting this particular independent media podcast. You can go to patreon.com/IDoubtItPodcast. We would very much appreciate your support. We'd love to hear from you, 657-464-7609. And of course, you can email idoubtit@dollemore.com. We love and appreciate you very much for all of you do. We are in this together. Find some community. We'll see you next time. For Brittany Page, I'm Jesse Dollemore, and this has been I Doubt It. We'll be right back.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.